Up until a few years ago, Sally and I used to love hill walking. We used to take the kids when they were younger, and then after they'd grown up, we used to go on our own. We walked in the very top left-hand corner of Scotland, up a hill called Anshalach, which is a beautiful, wild, rugged hill. We've been across Dryden Edge in the Lake District. We've been up all three peaks in the Yorkshire Dales, Penygent, Wernside, Ingleborough. Been across Pennyvan and Cribbin and the Brecon Beacons and pretty well everywhere in the Peak District. We loved it. We loved just walking up hills and then, of course, walking down again. When you enjoy hill walking, you get used to sheep. Most of the hills you walk on have got sheep on them, or sheep droppings, in generous quantities. And the sheep are usually pretty friendly. Sometimes they're over-friendly. I remember one occasion, a sheep tried to shove its snout into a packet of crisps I was eating. They quite fancy the cheese and onion crisps. Once, when I was a young lad, camping on Dartmoor with a friend of mine, I was woken up in the middle of the night because a sheep had tripped over the guy rope and landed on top of us, the tent, squashing both the tent and me and Trevor. But when you're climbing a hill, and you get to the top of a hill, so you go over a stile, and you come face to face with a sheep coming the other way, and you stand there, and you look into those lovely, soft, gentle eyes, and you see through its eyes, and look into what is going on in its head, and you come to realize that what is going on in that sheep's head is absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Is it any wonder that our Lord referred to us as his sheep? You see, sheep are probably the most guileless animal I've come across. And I'd like to draw out this morning three characteristics of sheep that I think we can learn from. Because I'm probably doing sheep a great injustice by calling them totally guileless. In point of fact, a friend of mine who's a shepherdess, a Sheila Innes, who actually has been to some of our special occasions. I've known Sheila for years. She was one of my caretaker 30 years ago. But she's a shepherdess, and she tells me the sheep are gentle, they're loyal, and they're generally very contented animals. And as I thought about this, I concluded that we could learn from this, you know. Let's think about these sheep that we come across and we often just ignore. First of all, sheep demand very little, but they give a great deal. Now, I have to admit, I don't actually speak fluent sheep. But I'm pretty sure that if you look at a flock of sheep on the hillside, you don't have one sheep going, hey, my fleece is better than your fleece. Yeah, my fleece is great, mine is. I don't believe the sheep go around with the spirit of Absalom. You know that spirit that destroys so many churches? Well, I don't know what the shepherd's up to, but if I was a shepherd, I wouldn't do it that way. That's the spirit of Absalom, which is destructive to churches. I'm sure sheep don't say, well, I'm not going to share a stream of water with that person. I don't like that sheep. I'm sure sheep don't have these kind of characteristics. They demand very little. I don't think sheep have excessive ambition, excessive greed, although they do like to stuff the faces sometimes and my crisps. I don't think they have any of these other annoying characteristics which many of us humans demonstrate. When you think about it, they don't demand to be fed on luxury food. Sheep are on the roughest of pasture, on the tops of hills. They don't have the lush, rich grass. You know, cows are a bit prima donna, aren't they? Cows, they say, oh, I've got to have rich, lush pasture. I've got to be taken indoors in the winter. You've got to look after me. Sheep aren't like that. Sheep have the rough, old, tough, wiry grass on the top of the hills. They drink mucky old water out of peat bogs. They don't demand expensive hotels. They'll just, if it gets snowy and cold, they'll take a bit of shelter in the lee of a hedge. And yet, although they demand so little, they give so much. The wool of the sheep has been a mainstay of human textiles for millennia. Their milk in some parts of the world makes great cheese. Actually, I love Roquefort cheese, which is sheep's milk, which has been allowed to go blue in the caves in Roquefort. It's lovely stuff. And, of course, meat. Sheep will make both an offering and a sacrifice on our behalf. Sheep demand little, but give lots. Is there a lesson in there for us? Is there a lesson in there for us that we should be demanding little but giving much? Or is there a tendency for us to take the worldly view of wanting to demand lots and give little? The second characteristic I wanted to draw out of sheep is that they stick together. Sheep have had a bad press over the years. You know, when you have crowds of people, it's often derogatory to say they're acting like sheep. As if it's a mindless sort of whatever. But if you ever watch One Man and His Dog, as I used to as a child, and most of you probably won't remember that, but when I was lived in the northeast of England in County Durham, and we used to love going to the hill fairs and watching the shepherds, one man and a dog or two dogs, herding the sheep together. Fantastic. It's fantastic that the dogs can obey the shepherds so well, but it's also fantastic that the sheep stick together. That's how you can herd them. That's how you can get sheep into the place you want them. They stick together. It's not like cats. Try and herd cats, they're all over the place, aren't they? Sheep stick together. You occasionally get a sheep that runs off on its own, but it's quite rare. Generally, they are communal beasts, and they prioritize community over independence of spirit. They prioritize being together over an independent spirit. Is there a lesson here for us as a church? Is there a lesson for us? Should we be prioritizing being together, sticking together, over an independence of spirit? I'm not going to do that. I won't do that. I'm going somewhere else. And the third point, sheep depend upon their shepherd. Their shepherd leads them to new pastures, provides them what they need for food, provided they do what the shepherd tells them to do. And because sheep are not self-prepossessed, sheep don't go around demanding my needs. You know, you see these things on the television. You know, I haven't had my needs met, people say in public. You're not meeting my needs. You don't really see many sheep doing that, do you? You don't say, oh, dear me, this water is simply not good enough for me. Because the sheep do not demand a succor for their personal problems, but simply submit to the direction of their shepherd, they lose the stress, the anxiety, and the dissatisfaction with life, which come from a strong will, determined to go their own way. Is there a lesson for us here? So why do I want to be a sheep? I entitled this talk, I Want to Be a Sheep. I believe it's no mistake that Jesus calls us his sheep, and I believe that these three characteristics, which I've just mentioned, of sheep, are also characteristics that God expects of us. So let's go back and take these one at a time. Sheep demand little, but give much. If we are to be one of Jesus' sheep, and I'm saying here Jesus is our shepherd, not Terry or Juanita or Trevor, you know, probably Jesus here. If we are his sheep, then this should be our attitude. We should be prepared to give much and demand little. That's the model Jesus gave. He gave everything for us. That is what we should be doing. Now, this is really countercultural. This goes against everything that culture is screaming at us. Grab the best for yourselves. Do unto others before they do unto you. Television programs model ways in which we can destroy people with gossip. But Jesus said, no, don't be like that. Go against the culture. Luke 6, 37 to 38. Luke 6, 37 to 38. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, you'll be forgiven. Give, and you'll receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken down together to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That's called, sometimes called the sowing and reaping principle, isn't it? We should desire to give much, but demand little. In humility, later on in Luke 14, 7 to 11, when Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head of the table, he gave them this advice. When you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, give this person your seat, and then you'll be embarrassed. And you'll have to take whatever seat is left to the very bottom of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then when your host sees you, he'll come and say, friend, we've got a better place for you. Then you'll be honored in front of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So let's make a determined effort to show this first characteristic from now on in this church and in the wider Christian community in Felixstowe. Let's demand little, but give much. Secondly, sheep stick together. Now, some years ago, Sally and I were on a holiday in Tunisia, and we saw a shepherd with his flock, leading the flock through the orchard. He was actually leading the flock from behind, because what was actually leading the flock were the goats. And the local guide explained to us that this is apparently a characteristic in the Middle East. Your sheep and your goats are together in one flock. They're mixed together. But the goats are much more pushy, and much more independent, and they go to the front of the flock. And the sheep just follow on behind the goats. And some of the goats, I actually saw some goats climbing trees to eat the leaves, because goats don't eat grass, usually. They eat hedgerows. They eat leaves off trees. They browse. Sheep graze. Goats browse. And the local guide explains to us, the sheep and the goats are together. The goats go out ahead, and the sheep just follow on behind. And the shepherd follows the sheep, just guiding them with his little stick and shouting at them. There was a real difference as you watched them in the behavior. Although in the Middle East and North Africa, the sheep and the goats look very similar, there was a real difference in the behavior between the two, as the goats really seemed to want to do their own thing, whereas the sheep were more prepared to be together as a flock, submitting to the shepherd rather than demanding their independence. King David wrote in Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forever. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity, for there God bestows a blessing. We find Jesus' words in John 17, verses 20 to 27, when he prayed for the disciples and for you and for me, not just for the disciples, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me, that's us, through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. This is Jesus' prayer. King David said, when we live together in unity, the Lord commands a blessing. Jesus prays, may they be brought to complete unity. That is Jesus' wish for us. Thank you, Beth. Thank you. Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesians. He says, so Christ, you know this bit very well, I'm sure. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, etc. Unity. Sticking together, being together, not bigging ourselves up and saying, oh, I'm going to do that. So let's learn this lesson. Let's make that effort to consider others more important than ourselves. Not to chase the latest whim, not to go the way of the world, but simply to say, we are a body of Christ. We are a body here, a family. Stick together. My third point is that sheep depend entirely on their shepherd. Now, this depends on where you set your focus. The sheep don't necessarily keep staring closely at the shepherd saying, where do you want it to go? Where do you want it to go? Where do you want it to go? But they submit to the shepherd's leading and the shepherd's guiding. The goat may go wherever he likes. Oh, there's a nice leaf up there. I'm going to climb that tree. Bye, you lot. I'm off to get a tree. There's a tastier thing over here. Oh, look, there's something fantastic over here. Bye, you lot. I'm going to go and do my own thing over here. You know, chasing things. The sheep focus on their shepherd. They may fancy a bit of tasty grass over there, or a bit of fruit over there, a nice bit of sugar beet in that field over there, or whatever. But they know their shepherd has better for them. The world says, chase your whims, chase your dreams. The Lord says, chase me, because I can do better. The world may offer you this thing and that thing. What I've got for you is better. Trust me, follow me, set your focus on me. And so it is with us. We have a choice. We could fix our eyes on ourselves, fix our focus on our needs, on our personal needs, on our desire for self-realization and whatever. Or we could fix our focus on Jesus. We could keep on believing the lies of the world. I'm great, I am. I'm rubbish, I am. Gosh, I'm so handsome. Gosh, I'm so ugly. Gosh, I'm really rich. Oh, I'm really poor. I'm really happy. Oh, I'm really sad. It's all nothing. It's all flim-flam. That comes from focusing on yourself. If you keep focusing on yourself, if we keep focusing on ourselves, we'll never focus on the shepherd. Can I just say that again? If you keep focusing on yourself, you'll never focus on the shepherd. Get your eyes off yourself and focus on Jesus. Listen to his voice. Listen to him. Know that what he has to offer is better than anything the world has to offer. Know that you can trust him. Jesus said this, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. This is John 10, from a couple of passages in John 10. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one. Imagine that's Jesus' hand, and you're in there. No one is going to snatch you out of there. You have the freedom of will to walk off and drop into darkness. That's your choice. But as long as you stay in Jesus' hands, no one is going to snatch you out of there as long as you stay there. Keep your eyes on Jesus this week. Let's make every effort to just take our eyes, our focus off ourselves, and put our focus on Jesus. I'm afraid I'm shortchanging you today because I'm going to finish about 10 minutes early. But I want to conclude by saying I have described three characteristics of sheep that can help us to lead wise lives. Give much and demand little. Stick together. Depend on the shepherd. I explained how in the Middle East, in North Africa, the goats and sheep look alike and often mix up, but they behave quite differently. Let's finish off by looking at Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 25, verses 31 to 36. What Jesus said is the Jesus' words, recorded by Matthew. Recorded by Matthew as one of the disciples. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you as sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you're doing it to me. Let's paraphrase that by saying, when you demanded little but gave much, and when you stuck together to look after each other, then you are obeying the shepherd. And the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't even give me a drink. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, you didn't give me any clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't even visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he said, I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me. You are demanding much, but giving little. You are not sticking together. You are not obeying the shepherd. As for me, I want to be a sheep. Amen.